that we can lift our hearts to you, that we can just express the joy and the gratitude that's in our hearts. Thank you that your presence is here. We experience you. We feel you. We know, Lord, that you're right in the middle of this. You're right in the middle of this. That you just are so, oh man, you love the glory of your people when we glorify you. We want to lift you up, Jesus. We just pray that you'll have your way here today. Speak, God, just speak. Remind us, Lord, that you're God who wants to be known. That you open our eyes today, that you would do that. That we would see you, God. That's our prayer. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Check, check.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Welcome. This is our way of saying welcome. It's good to worship together. Some of you are here for the first time. And we're glad you're here. This is a good place to be. This is a safe place to be. And I believe with all my heart today that God's going to show us something that maybe we've never seen before. He's a God who wants to be known. He's a God who says, look, it's me. Look, it's me. I'm your God. I have come to save you. I've come to help you. You're in trouble. You're calling on the right person. You're calling on God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Mel to share a little bit today. Mel has undergone a real transformation in his life. With God, all things are possible. Come on up here, buddy. Yeah. Amen? Thank you, Lord. We're going to listen. You know, every one of us has a journey. Every one of us is on a road, and finding the road, that sometimes a narrow road isn't an easy thing to do, but that road is a road that we always walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm going to just pray for you. God, thank you for Mel. I thank you for the hold that you have on him. I thank you for his faith. And we're going to be encouraged by this message and just by this story, God, today. We just know that. So I pray, Lord, for people who are here today or just trying to figure out if you're real or not, that you will show that you are such a real God, that you are authentic, that there really is God, and that you really do love us, and that you can help us out of the pit that we're in. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
I could probably just talk real loud myself, you know.
No, you got to use that.
All right. Hi. In case you don't know who I am, I'm Melvin House, just Melvin House, no middle name or nothing. I've got to start my journey from the day I was born because it's very important to me. Well, you'll see what I mean. When I was born, I actually wasn't born in a hospital, but it was in a barn or a shed where my mom was having a drink with a few other people. And that's where I was born. You might say they were sitting on straw bales and that. I myself would like to consider it a manger. But that's where I was born. But anyway, going on further, from the day I was born, I don't know when my mom gave me up, but I ended up on Gouard Mission. I don't know if anybody knows where that place is. And from there till the age I was 16, I was in foster homes all that time. When I turned 16, I wanted to go somewhere and find some part of my family. So with a pair of pants, a couple pair of socks, T-shirt, and a little backpack, I don't know if I had $10 or not, but that's where I was going to go, was to Edmonton, because that's where my brothers were and some of my sisters. So away I went. I was lucky because I got one ride. When I got to Edmonton, the truck driver woke me up and said, "Mel, you're here." I said, "Where am I?" I said, "You're in Edmonton." I've never in my life seen the Great Lakes at that. Never. I was astonished by these lakes. And he asked me where I want to get dropped off. I said, "Anywhere, wherever." He says, "I'm lost anyway. I might as well go find where I'm going to find. I'll find someone." So that's what happened there. Lo and behold, I did find one of my older brothers. Someone stayed in for a couple of years till I was 17, 18. Not all this time when I was doing this. I'll come to that later. I never did serve the Lord. I never knew who he was. I heard of his name, but I didn't know who he was. So going on a little further, I went to work up a few places. I was at Single Men's Hostel in Edmonton after I quit high school. I went to maybe grade 11. That's how, I guess, smart I am. I don't know. I think I'm a lot smarter than that. But anyway, after that, I worked a few times around in Edmonton. Then I went back north. But I think I was around 21 or 22. I'm not too sure. And I met my first relationship I had this woman. I had three sons from this first relation. I love my boys dearly. They're all old now. My oldest son is 45. I've got numerous grandchildren and granddaughters, and I got one great-granddaughter. And from there, where did I go? I went north, moved, and I came back to Edmonton. And four, I would say, after I broke up, this my first relationship, I went on a drinking binge. I kid you not. You guys might think you know how to drink, but if you keep up to me, you would have to see what I was doing. I drank so much, so hard, but I worked all the time to support my habit. That's all. Not knowing God then. Never did. From there, I got tired of it. I wanted to stay in Edmonton to see my boys grow up. They always come and visit me all the time. Every payday, I'd give them money. And that's what I do. And that's all I knew my boys. When they got up, I talked to them, and I said, "I'm going back north." And I went home I wouldn't call it home. That's just where I was living. But when I was 44, after that, I drank there for 1 year. That's what I wanted to do, so I went and did it. I'd never deteriorate from that. That's right. If I set my mind on something, I'm going to do it. So that's what I did. When I was about 45, I get this call when I was going to go drink, but I didn't. And that was my wife's stepdad to go to. He wanted to ride from Manning to Grand Prairie. So I took him there. And that's where I met my wife for the first time. I haven't seen her over 20 years. I seen her last time when she maybe was 8 years old. We got together. I never thought nothing that we'd ever get together. But man, oh man, things should change. So we've been together over 20 years now. And we've been married maybe little 17 years. Oh, you're not telling me I know that. But anyway, I got to tell you something about some of the deaths I faced in my time. My first one when I was, I think, 18 or 17, I was working part-time in Edmonton at a baker's shop. My brother was a baker. And I was going to work, and this car hits me and knocks me out I was down for maybe 4 hours. I woke up in the hospital, and this police officer asked me these questions. How come I was thrown 30 feet this way and not the other way where I was supposed to land? I told him, how am I supposed to know that? I said, I don't know. But anyway, I survived that. That was really good. I thought I'd die there for sure. Now, the next time when I was drinking once, I'm going to give you three of them because I got lots of them, but I'll just give you three ones that made a lot of sense to me or meant lots to me. Second time I was partying with some friends and we were playing cards. And this story, I don't know if some of you guys want to shut your ears, but you can if you want to. And this guy, I was winning all the money. A friend and I were winning all the money. And this guy, he was so fast, he pulled a knife from his boot and just got me by the hand and stuck to my throat. And I thought, man, am I gone now or not? So I talked, and I talked to this guy. I told the guy, just leave. I'll talk to him. And I did talk to him. He actually put the knife down. I took the knife and I said, lay down. I said, let's have a drink. And you just, you know, we're all friends. And I told the guy, you guys come in there. He's okay now. I thought for sure I was going to, because he had a knife there. He even cut myself a little bit, but I got out of that. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. Okay, now the third time, but shortly before I got married, I caught that meningitis fever, and oh, I was almost gone for 9 days. The doctor said I scared him two or three times. He thought I was dead for sure. But my wife, I found her later, prayed for me so much. I mean, she prays lots. I've never seen a woman in my life pray so much like she does. Oh, maybe that's why God sent her to me. I don't know. But now I do. So anyway, after that, we moved here to Red Deer when my daughter was 2 months old. Still not knowing the Lord. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to do nothing. This is very true. I didn't want to. So about a year ago, my wife asked me to come, and I decided, well, I'll give it a try. So I came here to Potter Hand. The first time, it was just like any church I've been to, and I haven't been to too many. But the second time I came here, when I seen on your faces, all you people that sit in this congregation that have this illumination, I'd call it, you are serving someone that maybe I should be serving, which I haven't been doing, but now I am. So now, don't mind me if I cried. These are tears of joy. I kid you not. I like talking about God. I do so much, so dearly. But now, let me tell you where the story really begins. All the times that I figured out that I was drinking that so-called good times, it was not. It was never was meant to be, never. The best times and the good times are now. I'm serving God. This is where the good times start, and this is where the good times are going to end. Or when I am called for my Savior to go somewhere or do whatever. We don't do too so much in any church I go to. We're not doing too much. We do a lot of talking. But if we do more for the Lord, oh, you're going to see the rewards come. They will come. I got to believe it with all my heart. From the bottom of my heart to all my soul, to all what I am today, this is where I'm going to be forevermore. I will not have no doubt in my mind that the Lord wants me to be here and tell him whatever it is that he wants me to do. I don't know if I'm going to be called to be a minister, a preacher, or whatever. But whatever he tells me what to do, I'm going to be in obedience until the day I die. That is a promise I made to the Heavenly Father, and I'm keeping it no matter what. No matter what. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I know I have more time, but I could tell you so many stories. But what I'd like to do right now, this is in closing, by the way. I don't know what else to say, but I'd like to sing you guys a song that one of my favorite gospel songs. I used to karaoke lots when I was in Edmonton. So maybe my voice is a little harsh because, I am 66. You know, the voice does get a little, cloudy. But I'll try to sing it. No, I won't try. I will sing it. I was asked. Here it goes anyway. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Don't hold back, Mal. Don't hold back, you know. Boy, there's a passion, right? There's a passion for Jesus. And we learn and we know that, that there's a real genuine change that happens in our lives. Amen? There's a real genuine change that happens in our lives. And this is a story that I know that, you know, Mal could have gone on for half an hour. You could have talked about all the darkness and the light that happened when you surrendered your life to Jesus. And, you shared some amazing things and some teaching And some people here today, we just need to hear that, that there's hope. You know, if you think there isn't any hope, you're wrong. Hey, you showed up. Sorry. Don and I were, yesterday, we're at the men's retreat, and I didn't think he was going to be here, and there he's sitting there, and we had a blast, I'll tell you, 20 guys out there, and just praising God, and learning, and living, and hiking together, and stumbling down hills and mountains, I'll tell you, I'm just beat. But God is good, and yesterday was a good example of God being good, and of, I don't know, you know, us just having our eyes open to see God. I wonder sometimes whether that's happening in our lives, and this is where God is leading me today in the Word, and I like what you said. It is amazing grace, and you know, God, I just, you, I know I've got too many things going on here in my head right now. Don't worry, it'll catch up with my tongue pretty quick, but God is so good, and God knows who you are. God knows what you need. God knows what trouble you're in. God knows how bad you've messed up. None of that surprises him, and he just keeps saying, you know, just come to me. Get into my arms. I love you. I got a solution for you. I am not surprised by your stupidness or your sin or anything else. I'm not surprised by any of it. I am your God. I made you. I created you. I knew you before the world was even made. I knew who you were, and I have formed you marvelously and wonderfully. You are precious to me. Did you hear that? You're precious to me. I look at you as my son and my daughter. I love you. I really do. And all that I want is for you to see me. Let's pray. God, we want to see you today. So open our eyes. And I'm excited, God, because I know that you have some things in store for us today that are going to be different than normal church. And that's good. Just want to see you, Jesus. I pray that you'll open our eyes today. Thank you for your holy word. We stand on this as truth. We believe, Lord, that you speak to us, and that there are answers, and this reveals who Jesus is. So do that today. And today we pray, Holy Spirit, for you to move here. I pray that we'll be attentive. We're going to really listen today. And that what you say, you have a special message for each one of us, that you'll just whisper whatever we need to hear today, that somewhere throughout this service we're going to hear it, and it's going to be in our hearts. And I pray, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Resurrection. We sang about it. Some of the songs that Rob picked today were about resurrection. And, you know, I have a hard time getting past the resurrection because I just love preaching on it. And I think it's so pivotal to our faith, you know, that Jesus is alive. It's, you know, we can't really talk about hope unless you really believe that Jesus is risen. So you're going to have to forgive me. I think maybe next time I'll move on to something different, but I got to be in the resurrection one more time. I hope that's okay. And so back to Matthew 27. I know I've preached on this 4 or 5 times already, but I'm sorry. I just really believe this is, I'm not sorry. Forget it. I should be honest. I'm not at all sorry. So the resurrection, Matthew 28. I'm just going to read a few verses from this, and then we're going to move on to John's version of the resurrection. So Matthew 28, verse 2. This really happened, all right? This actually really happened. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and he sat on it. The angel's appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." Stop. I want you to think about that last line. Here's the words of the angel. I like this picture, by the way. You know, you can picture, there's the tomb, and there's this huge stone, this huge rock. Where is the angel, by the way? He's sitting on the rock. Like, there's something funny about that, I think. Here's this angel sitting on this 5-foot, 6-foot rock, sitting up top there, and, you know, he's got his legs crossed or whatever he's doing. Hey, Mary, you know, you're having a coffee. Yeah, you went to Tim Hortons, and, hey, you know, this Jesus that you're looking for, he's not here. Don't worry, he's not, he's alive. But get this, because this is so important. This is what we're going to talk about today. He says this. He is risen,
Jesus has risen, just like he said, and then these three words, come and see. Now, I know I preached on that like 6 weeks ago. I'm going to preach on it again. It's not the same sermon, but the same idea, sort of how we started this Lent season with those words, come and see, because God's been impressing this on my heart so much, that this is really what the Christian faith and what my life needs to be about. I need to come and see. Come and see. Because you know what? There's something to see in this Christian life. There is something to see. There's something great about this resurrected Lord. Come and see. Man, you got to see this. There's something to see. And the problem is that for many hundreds of years in the church, instead of saying to each other, come and see, come and see, we've been saying this, not come and see, we've been saying, come and sit. Come and sit. Let's go to church. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Anywhere where I can sit. We build our churches for sitting. We put hundreds of seats in there. Come and sit. We're not saying to each other, come and see. We're saying, come and sit. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I sit. And we're good at sitting. Really, the church, we've been so good at sitting. We build churches so that people come in and they just find a place to sit. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there. Dig out your wallet when we pass the plate, but that's pretty much the only active thing you need to do. We got professional speakers and professional musicians and professional missionaries. You don't need to do anything. Just sit there. Sleep if you like. Just come. Come and sit. Come and sit. But that's not, listen, that is not what the angel said. He didn't say come and sit. He said come and see. Right? Now let's look at John. Keeping this in mind that we're supposed to see something. I mean, really, do we do this? Do we come to church expecting to see anything? Because we should. And it's about time. And I told you this like 6 weeks ago. I'm not going to church anymore if I'm not seeing anything. I'm going to go do something different. Or I'll find, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I don't want to just sit. And if it's just all about sitting, I can watch the Rebels and sit. I can go watch the Flames and sit. I can go to a concert and sit. But he didn't say come and sit. He said come and see. In John's account of the resurrection, he says this. And I want you just to focus here or notice how many times he talks about looking and seeing. In the empty tomb, John 20. I think we have it on the screen. John 20. Notice how many times he talks about that there's something to see here. There's something to see. So early in the first day of the week, I'm going to read quickly, so you're going to have to listen quickly. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw, say that with me, and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And so she came running to Simon Peter, the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, that was John, and she said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent over and looked in. Does it say that? There you go. He bent over and looked in at the strips of the linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and believed. He saw. You got to see to believe. Like, honest, you got to see to believe. You got to see. And God opens our eyes. I believe that with all my heart. We are blind unless God opens our eyes. Many of you know that's true. You lived in darkness. You lived and you were blind. There's only one way you're going to see, and that's if God opens your eyes. But there's one other little ingredient, and they're called your eyelids. And the eyelids you control. You got to open your eyes. You might not be blind anymore because God touches you and God opens and he makes it so that he shows who you are. But we have a choice we can still make. We can keep our eyelids closed and you need to open your eyes. There's something to be seen. Later on, it says in verse 18 that Mary Magdalene went to the other disciples and she said, I have seen the Lord. Amen? We're going to talk today about seeing the Lord. We're going to talk today and hear what God says about not sitting anymore, that sitting isn't what we're called to do, but we're supposed to see something. We're supposed to see the power of God. There should be signs and wonders. There should be amazing things that happen when we are looking for Jesus because he's an amazing and a powerful God, and he wants to be known. He wants to be known, and he just stands there. He goes, look, Nora, it's me. It's Jesus. Do you see me? And sometimes we're doing this. No, I don't see you, right? Well, open your eyes because I'm right here. And I have, you're no longer blind, but you're just closing your eyelids. There are a lot of people I've met, people you know, who they don't want to see. Let's start with this. They don't want to know Jesus. They don't want to know if he's real or not. They want to keep their eyelids closed, and they don't want to ask that God question. Right, Don? All right. They want to ask that God question. Is there really a God? And most people in the world, honestly, if you ask them the question, do you believe in God, and you really push them, most people go, yes, I believe in God. But what then? You know, if you say the answer to that question is yes, if you say, yes, I believe there's a God, you're in trouble. Because you need to ask the next question. If you believe there's a God, then what? Who is he? What does he want? How do you get to know him? If you answer the question, no, I don't believe in God, you don't need to follow with any of those questions. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to do anything. You can just live your life. But if you answer the question, yes, I think there's a God, then it's important that we ask that question. So, God, what do you want? How do I follow you? What do you expect from me? How do I get to know you better? Right? But a lot of people in the world, they want to keep their eyes closed. Like they just don't want, it's like it's a bad accident. They don't want to see it. Is there a God? Well, I don't know and I don't want to know. Lots of people are like, I don't know. I don't want to know if there's a God. Just don't bug me with that question. Why are you asking me if there's a God? And they think that those of us who believe in God and who go to church, they think we're crazy. Right? Because we've explored that question. We want to know who this God is, but most people just want to bury their head in the sand and say, don't bug me with that question. I don't want to think about it. Because if I think about it, there are implications to this. Right? I want to avoid it. We're told about Stephen, who was the first martyr, and it's in Acts chapter 7, that he was preaching and he was proclaiming Jesus and he was telling the truth. And he put it up there that the people were so annoyed with that question about God that they said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing. This is Stephen saying this, standing at the right hand of God. And they didn't want to hear this, and so here's what they did. At hearing this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You picture that? Here's Stephen. He's telling them about Jesus, telling them about the living God, and they're doing this. Ah! I mean, I know I'm crazy doing that, but that's what they were doing, right? They didn't want to hear. Blah, 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 la, 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 la. I don't want to hear this. Don't want to hear it. So let's just kill them, right? So the first point I'm trying to make today is there's a lot of people, they don't want to ask that God question. They don't want to deal with them. They don't want anyone to challenge them and saying, is God real or not? I don't care. I don't want to know. I'd like to just keep my head buried in the sand. I want to just keep my head buried in the sand. I don't want to know. Right? There's a lot of people who keep their eyes tightly shut. And you won't see Jesus unless you are willing to open the eyes that he's given you. You are not blind anymore. You are not. The second thing is that there's a lot of people who, what they do see about Jesus is they see what he doesn't do or what they think he can't do. So they don't believe in what Jesus can do. They don't believe that he has the power to transform lives or that he has the power to forgive or that there's resurrection power to change our lives. But there's a lot of people in the world, and you know this, you've run into them before, they ask all the God questions that are not. What is God not doing? You know, God's just so busy not doing what I want him to do, right? If there's really a God, Brother Paul N. last week talked about the fact that God doesn't answer to our whims, right? He doesn't need to check in with me. He doesn't answer to me. I answer to him. That was a good message. There's a lot of people who ask the God questions. You know, if there's a God, and that's always a false question. Whenever you start a sentence with, well, if there's a God, you're setting yourself up for a false answer. If there's a God, then why is there hunger in the world? If there's a God, why is there sickness in the world? If there's a God, why do all these terrible things happen? If God really is all powerful, and then we try to answer that question. Just, can I finish and we'll get to you. We'll get to you. I know the answer. But here's what we need to understand today. We just need to pray a minute. I just feel like there's just this turmoil here, and I want us to hear this. So God, right now, I just pray that you'll break through this wall, and that we'll stop chattering with each other, that we'll just listen to you, God, that there won't be any disturbances, that there won't be anything here that just gets in the way. I know that you want to do something here, and I trust you to do that, God. So just speak. In Jesus' name, amen. What I wanted to say about that was that God will never solve a problem for us that he's already given us the ability to solve ourselves. And a lot of times we want God, you know, we don't really want a God in our lives. We want a Bruce Willis or a Tom Cruise. We want someone to come in and save the day. We want to just sit like you do in a movie theater, and that Tom Cruise comes in at the end of the day and he just blows something up and he saves you out of the situation, and then you go back to sitting again. But that's not God. So if you want a God who looks like Bruce Willis, you don't know the God of the Scriptures. The God of the Scriptures says, no, what I really want is an intimate relationship with you. You don't have, I don't care how many movies you go to, you do not have an intimate relationship with Tom Cruise or Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger. See, I said that pretty good, right? But you can have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And for that to happen, God says, what's going to happen is I'm going to know you and you're going to know me, and I'm going to equip you to take care of the problems and to deal with the issues that are going on in your life. But I'm not coming in here just to rescue you for a moment or just to save the day, because that's not what happens here. I want you to know me, and so I'm going to struggle or have you struggle with me, because I want to develop that relationship with you. And most of the issues, most of the people who ask that question, you know, if there's a God, God's already given us the answers to a lot of those questions. If there's a God, why is there world hunger, for example? Why are people hungry? Why are, you know, little children starving? And God's answer to that is, well, I've equipped you. I've given you everything you need to deal with this problem. Don't ask me to just come in and save the day. There's enough food in this world. There's enough land in this world to grow enough food to feed everybody. I have given you the answers. I've given you the ability to deal with this. But you refuse to do that. You know, I get this picture in my head sometimes of this really large woman or man saying to God, God, why are people hungry in this world? And God looking back at her and saying, well, why are you 75 pounds overweight? Because that's the problem here. The problem's not that we don't have enough food. It's not that God hasn't provided enough food. It's that we're not willing to share that food. Amen? And that's true for a lot of the God questions. Yeah, that helps me. Yeah. Give God glory, right? We have the ability. God's provided it. You go, well, God, why is there wars? Why are there wars? Why does man kill man? And God's answer to that question is, well, I've given you the answers. You know, I don't need to come in and save the day here. I don't need to be the hero. I've given you the answers. I told you in my word to love your enemies and to do good to those who hate you. If you would just do what I told you to do, you wouldn't have that problem. What about sickness? God, there's people sick. There's even little kids sick. There's sick people here today. What are we going to do about that, God? Why don't you do something? If there really is a God, we wouldn't have this sickness. But God says, you know, if you're sick, you should call on the elders of the church, and you should call on other spiritual leaders, and you should ask them to pray for you and to anoint you with oil. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And that person, now get this, that person will be healed. So it's not like God hasn't provided for us the answers that we need. He really has. What about death? People die. Even some of those sick people die. Even Lazarus, who we heard about last week, at the end of that story, we're told that the leaders of the Jews were wanting to take his life now. He just got raised from the dead. And it's not going to be long. He's going to be dead again and back in the tomb again, according to, you know, what we read in the Gospel of Luke. What about death? God, if there really is a God, if you're really true, if you're who you say you are, then what about people who are dying all the time? And God says, I have given you eternal life through my son Jesus. Amen? There is no death. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Are you following me? So, what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of people, the only questions, the only thing they see about God is what he doesn't do. And what God's really saying is, I've done all those things. I've taken care of all that stuff. I have given you everything you need. I'm not going to just come in and try to fix everything for you, because I want you to use the abilities and the gifts and the money and the talents and whatever you have to deal with those kind of issues. You can do this. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to empower you to do it. And I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to come alongside of you. I'm going to come alongside of you. And what really is true, and I guess the real point that I'm trying to make today, and I believe this is really God's word, is that the more we sit, the less we see. You believe that? You get that? The more you sit, the less you see. And we spend so much of our Christian lives just sitting. And we're told, you know, the church has taught us this for many, many years. Just sit there. Don't do anything. Don't expect anything to happen around here. Nothing's going to happen. We're just going to have a nice service. And when we're done, you can go home. Or you can go to Tim Hortons. You can do whatever you want. You can sit some more. But it's all about, the Christian life is all about sitting. The more you sit, and hear me today, the more you sit, the less you see. There's a lot of people I know, because we have a lot of bachelor apartments. There's a lot of people that I know who live in these little tiny bachelor apartments. And I call it the little apartment syndrome, where you sit in that little tiny apartment, and maybe you got a bottle in one hand, or maybe you got a remote control in one hand, and you just sit there. And I know people who are spending their whole lives, and I find it so tragic, spending their whole lives just sitting there doing nothing. And it's a syndrome. And they're not seeing God. You see, the more you sit, the less you see of what God's really doing. You don't see the wonders of God. You don't see the signs. You don't see the answers to prayers. You just sit there. You know, when I sit all by myself and in this tiny little place, I just start thinking about me. You know, man, I need a new pair of shoes. And my knees are hurting a little bit today because of the walk I was on. And you know, you sit in that chair, all you think about is yourself. No one's here. Where is everybody? How come no one comes to visit me? I'm sitting here and no one visits. No one cares. No one loves me. The more you sit, the more you just internalize and you think about your own little world and your own little problems and you're the only thing in your world. The more you sit, the less you see of God. And so the message today is you got to stop sitting. We got to stop sitting. I don't want to be, maybe this, I don't want to be offensive here, but I don't want to be a part of a church where all we're going to do is sit. I want to be a part of a church where we're seeing God. We're seeing the living God. We're seeing the wonders of God. We're seeing the beauty of God. We're seeing the healing of God. We're seeing the restorative power of God. That's where I want to be. How about you? Yeah? And the good news, the good part of this is I'm not making this up. This is actually what God wants too. So it really doesn't matter what I want, but God says, this is what I want for you. I want you to see me. I want you to see that lives can be changed. Some of you need to be healed. Sonny needs to be healed. We need to pray for him. We need to be praying for Ricky, who's not here today. I don't know why she's not here. You know, we need to be a church where we're seeing God, not just talking about God, not just sitting and looking at each other. Hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you? You know, like, I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to see the power of God. I want to see the power of God. And the good news is that God wants to show us his power. He says, come and see. He doesn't say, come and sit. He says, come and see. Come and see. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm resurrected. I got power. I can do things that you have no idea about. Are you sick? Come, and I'll heal you. Through you, I'll heal you. Through the leaders, through the elders, through men and women of faith. I just want to show myself to you, right? It's not about sitting. Last week, I sat and listened to a good message by Paul Inn. And I'm not, let me kind of preface this a little bit. I'm not getting the whip out, but I was sitting right about here. And as he was preaching, the point here is we're not very, I'm going to give you the point and then I'm going to explain. We're not very good at sitting because while I was sitting here, Paul Inn was going through his points about the P's, right? There's the patience, and there's the prayer, and there's the P that is the, what was the, give me some of them. The problem, the perplexity, what anyway, there are five P's, I remember that, right? Every time, there we go, praise, power, okay. He says there's five P's Paul Inn preached about. There are five P's I want you to know about. He got to the first P, two people stood up and went out the back. He said, there's a second P. Three guys stood up and went to the back. He says, I got a third P, he said. And another guy stood up, another woman stood up. Every time he said the word P, someone went to the bathroom. The point I'm making, or at least trying to make, is that we are really not very good at sitting still as a church. Some people, some churches, I think, are way better than that. And that's not a bad, I'm saying that, that's a good thing. So let's not sit still. Let's get up. Let's be committed to going and doing and seeing the things that God wants us to see. He says to us, after he said, come and see, he says, now I want you to go. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. These are action verbs. Go and make disciples of all nations. You go, you go, you go. Don't expect me to do it all. I can't. I'm not doing my part. So you help me, right? You go. You make disciples. You baptize. And you go into all the world. It's time that we go and we see. And since we're not very good at sitting still, that's probably a good thing. Let's get out there and let's do the things that God wants us to do. Amen? The early church, the way I see it, and when I read the book of Acts, I don't see them sitting around very much. I don't read anywhere where it says that all the disciples and all the other people got together and they just sat and had a nice time and had a workshop. They went to a seminar and sat for 2 days. Whenever they did sit, it seems to me, the Bible says they prayed. But other than that, they were out going. They were out baptizing. They were sharing the things that they had with each other. They were loving each other. They were praying for each other. They were planting churches. They're all going in different directions. Man, that's what God wants us to do. I mean, there's a time to sit. I'm glad you're sitting. I'm glad you're listening to this. But God wants us to get up, and you me, all of us, we've got a message to bring. And this is important. We've got a message to bring. We've got a story, our story, to tell. Amen? Yeah. I want to be a part of a church where we come and see what God's doing. He is a God of beauty, you know? God created beauty. I want to see the beauty. I want to see the healing. I want to see the hope in people. I want to see us praying for each other and ministering to each other. God wants to see us meeting the needs of each other. Sometimes there's someone who has a special need that we're taking care of that, that we're not just living in our own little isolated bubble. God wants us to care and to love each other. And now here's where the weird part comes. We're going to do it today. So it's not going to be just, okay, now that's a good message. Time to go home. See you guys. We'll be back again next week. We're not doing that today. So I'm going to give you a little preparation because I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit today. You sat here now for an hour and a half. It's time that you get off of your butts and care for somebody, encourage somebody. Maybe there's someone here with a little kid and you've had little children before and you need to go and see them and say, you know, you're doing a good job. I want you to know that. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm thinking about you right now, sorry, but you are doing a good job and I'm going to pray more for you. Or Teresa, I know what the burden is you've got right now. You got such a struggle at home with Sonny. Rose, we love you. I'm not going to just sit there. I want to see it. Or maybe you have a prophetic word for somebody. Maybe there's someone here today. You go, you know, I've thought I have something I want to tell that person. Maybe it's Dawn or maybe it's Tola or whatever. You got a word somewhere you want to encourage somebody. You say, I got this word that I need to share this with you, God. In a few minutes, we're going to actually do this. And it's all up to God. So it's not up to me. If nothing happens, if you guys all choose just to sit there and we sing a song and we all go home, okay. But I know my job, my responsibility is just to preach the word. My job is just to tell the truth. So I'm trying to just tell you the truth. This is what God wants of his church. He says, I want you to come and actually see me working. And the way I work is watching and helping you work amongst each other. You build each other up. You heal each other. You speak truth into each other's lives. There are a few people here. I'm going to give you another example here. There are a few people here that I know. They got no money. They don't have any money at all. They can't even buy groceries. And some of them have children. Now, there's a little money already in here. You can, if you choose today, or if God maybe leads you to do that, you can throw 10 in here or 5 or a toonie, doesn't matter. And maybe there's someone here today or a few people here today, you're going, you know, I don't have any money. I can't pay for food for my kids and I can't pay my rent or whatever it is. We're going to give you some money today because this is what it means to come and see. If you want to just come and sit, there's lots of places you can do that. You're not going to be able to do that here today and hopefully never again. So if God leads you to do that, here's some money. And if you need money today, I know this probably sounds crazy, but we want to give it to you. We want to provide for you. Not if you're going to need money for a lottery ticket. Okay? So if you say, oh, I need that 20 bucks, that's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about if you really have a need, you need food, you need to pay your rent, you have a need for finances, we're going to try to meet that. And maybe we can't. Maybe we can't take care of all the needs. That's okay. We're going to do whatever God provides. All right? And what we're going to do is, Dawn and Marg and Kirsten and Darcy, if you'll handle the money part of it today, and later on I'll ask people to come forward, and then if you just go to that room, and I want you to pray and give as the Lord moves your heart to give. All right? And I'm serious about it, and you need to not be shy. You need money today. You need to pay a bill. We're going to do our best because we're going to see what God wants to do here. We're going to see it. Have you got that video ready? Okay, just cue it up. I want to show you, while we're thinking about this, while you're just seeking God, we're going to pray in a minute. Let's pray right now, actually. God, we want to see you. I pray that you will lay this on each of our hearts, what we can do, even in maybe the next half hour here. Maybe there's someone we need to go to just to give them a hug. Someone we can pray with. Someone we got a word for. Maybe we put a little money in a pot to help somebody. Maybe there's someone with an addiction and we've struggled with that same addiction that we can just say to them, hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God, right now, by the power of your Spirit, I pray that you will move our hearts. We're tired of sitting. Our butts are sore. We don't want to sit anymore. You have so much more for us. You want to empower us. You want us to be healers. You want us to get in the water and get baptized. We want to see it visibly, tangibly, the things that you're doing. And I just cry out, Lord, my heart cries out to you today. God, do what you want to do here. God, do what you want to do here. God, you say that you're the God of signs and wonders. You say you're the God of revelation and that you show yourself. You say that you're the God who helps us in trouble. And we just want to see it. Oh, God. You're so good. So just right now, Lord, as we ask that question, each one of us, we just ask that question, lay it on our hearts that we will come and see. And all the people said, amen. What I'm going to show you here is yesterday, again, just giving you a few more minutes to think about how you can minister to each other or how we can encourage each other. Yesterday, Jaron wanted to get baptized. And he's been coming to church here. He became a Christian here real recently. Man, we're seeing stuff. Like, we got to testify to this. Anyone who says to me, nothing's happening around here, you're not looking. You got to open your eyelids. Jaron got baptized, and we walked. I bet it was about a mile, don't you think? Like, and it was straight downhill, and I'm an old man now. We walked down, straight down. I'm going, boom, boom, boom. And going down was, like, not as hard as going up. But we were going to go to the river, so we went to the river yesterday because Jaron wanted to get baptized. He gave his heart to the Lord, and I wanted you to see this. Come and see. And he just is a man who loves Jesus. He's not in this tank, but he went to the river, and the river was both very cool and very cold. I know. So let's put it on, and I haven't actually seen this. I was there, but I haven't seen the video, but let's see what this is, and I hope you're encouraged by it.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ready?
Yes.
You're
gonna
hurt
stepping on the rock.
Actually, it might not be too.
It goes. It drops off pretty quick there. Dad's gonna be immersed here in a second.
Oh man, I should take these shoes off.
Too late.
This is silkier.
In a big way.
More like a mud battle.
Three in one deal.
Actually, it's quicksand, guys.
It's a three in one deal, baby.
It's cold in here, Garth.
Take your time, Garth.
Way to go, Garth.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, catch those.
Nice catch, Tim.
Good enough. Thanks.
Oh, here's a.
We're going to go back in a second.
Okay, guys, you know what this means.
Yeah. Amen.
And the Bible says that when one who's lost returns, there are thousands of angels that rejoice. So yeah, they're already starting to hum. Amen. Up there. They're doing this, you know, they're praising God. They know, hey, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
Thank you,
it's
Jesus.
Coming.
Thank you, Lord.
Jaron, you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart?
Yes, I do.
What's your full name?
Jaron Michael Bernard Schneiderham.
Jaron Michael Bernard Schneiderham, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Jesus Christ be praised!
Hallelujah!
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 Thank you, Jesus!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus,
Lord. Amen, Lord. Glory.
Hallelujah. Continue.
Pour it out upon
them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Complete. Do a complete work. Do a complete work.
We're going to have to lean on each other here.
Woo!
You got it? You got it? Soft ones are nice and soft.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
you're getting
all the soft ones,
Thank you, God. Hey, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jessica, do you want to come up here? We're going to have a baptism, you guys. Jessica wants to be baptized, so amen. And if you're praying with someone, you don't need to stop praying.
Can you just mention about the money again?
I'm going to. I have a couple. You can. Okay, if I can just need you just to listen to this a sec, okay? We're going to baptize Jessica, but I know that there's a few of you that are waiting because we're being blessed here. There's a lot of people that have given some money. I'm going to say it again. Now's the time that you go find your way in that back room. So, Jay, why don't you find your way in that room? And James, I know that you were talking about it. You have a need. We're going to meet that need. And there's others. We're going to just share the money, okay? That's what we're going to do. So if you have a need, if you need some money today, you're in trouble, you need some food, you need to pay for rent, whatever it is, find your way in that room right now. There's Darcy and Kirsten and the Ebenalls. So, Linda, you're welcome to be a part of that or whatever. I'm not going to say who has to be a part of that, but I know that might be a bit embarrassing. Don't be embarrassed. You know, there's some who here who have plenty, and there's some who are in need. That's what it really means to be a family, right? So there are people going in the room right now because they have a need. The rest of you, I want you to come to the front and witness another baptism of our little daughter here, Jessica, right? Let me just gonna take this off.
It's a symbol that we're a part of the same family. You're a Christian. When you get in the water, you're a Christian. You have Christ in your heart, and he promises to walk with you and to be close to you. Yeah, then there is repentance. It's a turning, right? Turning to Jesus. Is there anything you want to say? Tell us something.
Yes. God is love, and I want to be protected by the power of love.
That's good. That's really good. Last week, Presley was baptized. That's your sister, right? That's your friend. Sorry, I'm still getting to know you guys. Sorry about that. That's right. That's right. That's Tara's daughter, Karina. Where's Karina? Kira, come here. Put your arm around this girl. And your other daughter is Sarah? Yeah, she was baptized maybe about a month ago. Okay, let's have a few people stand around and just put our hands. You come on in here. We're going to pray for these two, these three, his family. Amen? Amen.
And for Jessica.
God, we just thank you, God, that you are here right now. And thank you for Karina, and thank you for Jessica. Lord, we just give this to you. Lord, we give Jessica to you right now. God, she's making a stand saying she wants to be yours. She wants to say publicly that she belongs to you. And so, God, we just lift her up to you today, and we just pray that you will surround her with your angels, God, that you will protect her, and that even when she gets out of that water, Lord, that you will be filling her. You will Amen. Fill her Amen. Completely, God, with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit today. I need to know your name. Sorry. Yeah, what's your name? Sadie? Sadie, God loves you. I'm so glad you're here. You got a beautiful son. His name is Corbin. Yeah, he's beautiful. We prayed for him already. I want to just pray for him in front of all the people here, okay? Because there's power in that. And what we're talking about today is just seeing. We want to see what God wants to do. So, God, for Sadie and for Corbin, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you love this little man. And he's got life in his eyes. Thank you for Sadie, for the mom that she is. Someone just put your hand on her, okay? Will you do that, Mish? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get to this baptism, God, but we're going to do this in your time. We pray for this little family. We pray for healing power for his feet. We pray, God, that you're going to just hold him tight, God. You're going to provide for them, provide for Sadie, God. Give her encouragement. Give her patience. Right now, God, give her strength. Help her to know how much you love her, God. Thank you, Jesus. I know that there's something God's doing right now. He's doing something in your heart, and he's telling you how much he loves you. He's got a plan for you. He wants to say right now that the past is the past, Sadie. The past is done. And you don't need to worry about the past because Jesus is taking care of it. And to press on now. It's time to press on and finish the race. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Crystal, would you pray for her too?
God, we just pray for Sadie. Lord, thank you that she's your daughter, that you love her. And God, fill her with your love right now. God, just help her to know that you are so real. And that you totally care about her and her whole situation, Lord, we don't know, but you do, you know. And so, God, I just give you Sadie to you today, God, and I pray that you will wrap your arms around her and that you will comfort her and that you will give her strength, God, and that she may walk forward from today, Lord, knowing that you are with her. Through all the hard things, Lord, you are with her. You are always with her, and you will never leave her and you will never forsake her. Amen.
Okay, we're still not done. Mish, we need to pray for you. I'll tell you why. I know you don't know yet, but some of you guys don't even know her because she's quite quiet, but she is our little evangelist. I'll tell you, you have such power of God all over you, and I just want to pray that ministry that God has given you is just going to flower. It's going to be what it needs to be. And so, Chad, would you do that? Her name is Mish, right? That's how you say it. I know some people say Mish, so it's Mish, though, right? So Chad and Pauline, would you pray for Mish? Because she is bringing people to church. You're helping people, and I know you don't like the attention. You hate this, but we need to acknowledge it. I really believe this is what God wants. He wants us to acknowledge it. He says, "Come and see, come and see." And here, give him the mic.
Father, thank you for my dear sister, Mish, here. Lord, thank you for the relationship that you have developed and drawn with her, Lord. I thank you for that intimacy. And I just ask, Lord, that it would continue and grow and increase, Lord. And I just thank you for giving her intimate knowledge and that the gifts of God would increase in her tremendously, that they would just continue to increase and that you'd give her wisdom and knowledge and insight. And that she would just know where to go at what time and the people to speak to and when and what to do in every situation, Lord. I just ask that the discerning of spirits would even increase in her, Lord, and that heart and that passion for the lost would increase in her, Lord, and that she would just see you in every single person that has not yet come to you, that she would see you in every situation, Lord, and that she would follow you in every single situation, that your power would be on her in every situation, Lord. Hallelujah. And that every person that she goes and speaks to, Lord, there would be such an increase that their eyes would be open, Lord, and that they would call and cry out to you, how may I be saved? May every day, may she run into people that cry out, how may I be saved? God is all over you in the name of Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Continue to work in her life, Lord, and may through the laying of these hands, the anointing of God may work in your life. I speak holy boldness from Jesus Christ working in your life. I speak the revelation of God work in your life, that when you open your mouth sharing the gospel, other people listening, the chromosomes in their spiritual life may change for God's glory. The anointing of God is in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's scary to be part of this, but God's all over you. I know, don't be scared. This is Nora, guys. This is Nora. And Nora, I think it's probably safe to say that you're getting things straightened out with God, right?
Yes,
and God loves you. And she's been a part of our church, and God's providing for her. I just know that God wants us to pray for you, too. So I think Barb, I want Barb to pray and just ask you to pray for her. This is a new start. Is that fair, right?
Yeah,
it is. A new start. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
it's a new start.
Anita, would you and Barb just pray for the sister? Put your hands on her. You guys just come around. Some other women, just put your hands around her. Bless her. Bless Nora. Thanks.
Dear Jesus, we just lift her up before you, Lord. We just say that this is a new day, that the past is the past, Lord, that you look at us and we're all equal in your sight, Lord. And we thank you, God, for the gift of God within her. We pray, Lord, that you'd birth new life, new direction, new hope, Lord, that she would just grow to love you, and God, that you would surround her with your peace, and God, that you would make her path straight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we just thank you for Nora today. Lord, we just place her in your hands. We ask you to place your hedge of protection around her, Father. Fill her with your joy, Father God. Just fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and go before her in everything that she does. We thank you for the blessing that she is, Lord, and for the work that you're doing in her heart. In Jesus' precious name, thank you, Lord.
Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's clap again. Yeah. Hey, Dana. You can't run away. We got to. I'm sorry. There's one more, okay? And I shouldn't say that because maybe the Lord will lay others. But Dana and Jody, I'm going to just say this out loud because I think we need to speak this. Sometimes you got to speak things out loud. Someone said to me the other day that Satan can't read our minds, so we got to speak it clearly so he hears this. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak against heroin. I speak against the drug that your son is struggling with. And there was a near death, not him, but someone else who's in this building right now. Who's receiving help. Thank God that God spared her life. I want you to grab her hand. Hold her in your arms. Anyone here who feels comfortable, who has had an issue with drugs before, any drugs at all, I want you to come and surround them. We're going to speak against this. We speak against this. This is no way we're going to put up with this. No way we're going to put up with this. He says, come and see. We're tired of not seeing God. You say, come and see, so we're going to come and see. In the name of Jesus, we speak life. We're going to pray for Jordan. We're going to pray that this no longer happens, that this hold that heroin has on Jordan is a hold that's going to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus has Jordan in his hands right now. We pray for this, God. We need victory. We need you, Lord, to deliver Jordan from this heroin. Thank you, God, that you are the Savior of the world. Thank you, God, that you love Jordan and that you're going to use Jody and you're going to use Dana. You love them, God. So we're putting our trust in you, and we're expecting, Jesus, we are expecting to see great things here. We expect this. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Tola, would you come here? I want you to pray over these people, and I want you to understand that their son is struggling with drugs. He's been struggling with it a long time. We need victory over this. This is Dana. This is Jody, and it's Jordan. Jordan is the son. And Jordan is 19 now. He's 20. Will you pray, brother?
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you because your God hands of prayer. Before we ask, Father, we know you've heard us. And while we're talking, Father, we know you have answered. Yes. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Bible says, whatsoever two of us shall agree upon concerning anything here on earth, shall be given unto us, O God. Father, we are more than two. We are multitude, O God. And we're in one spirit, we're in one accord. We are agreeing, O God, against every spirit, against foul spirit in the life of Jordan, O God. Father, we pray, O God, that you will speak your word into his life. And Father, Lord, every tree that the devil has planted in his life, Father, Lord, they shall be uprooted. In the name of Jesus, every trees of heroin, every trees that will not glorify your name, O God. Father, we stand against them. We uproot them, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we release the peace that passeth that surpasses human understanding, oh God, upon his life, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray, oh God, that you will lift him up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we pray that you will arrest his heart, oh God. The Bible says, oh God, the heart of man is in your hands. Like rivers of water, you can turn it wherever you like, oh God. Father, we pray that you turn his heart towards you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you turn his heart towards you, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says you are the God of all flesh, and there is nothing impossible for you to do. Father, we are crying unto you, oh God, because you are our God. And you have said when we call on you, you will answer us, oh God. Father, we are calling on you, oh God. We pray, Father, Lord, that you would deliver your son in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, we pray that you will bring him forth, oh God. You will raise him up, oh God. You will revive him, oh God. You will release your peace upon his life, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Can I just hold on to that for a second? Okay, Jessica. Some of you didn't hear it. She said, Barb said, you're beautiful, and God got a hold on you all the days of your life, and just never turn from God. Just keep holding on to him. Those are good words. And I got, you don't know this yet. Where's that microphone?
You're going to go in. You know, these are hard years. How old are you now?
10.
You're 10. Yeah. Who many people remember 10, right? 13, 14, 15, they get harder sometimes. But I'm just going to speak right now that that's not going to be true for you. That God's got a hold of you even at 10 years old. God's got a hold of you. Jesus is in your heart, right? You love Jesus. And he's going to deliver you from any of the temptations, from any bad people, any evil. He's going to just hold you, and he's going to teach you the things that he wants you to know. And he's going to raise you up, Jessica, to be a mighty woman of God. Yeah? I prophesy that over you, and that you're going to be just a great daughter to your mom. Your mom needs your support. She needs you to pray for her. Can you do that? You keep praying for her. Your mom is amazing. She's amazing. And God is doing some stuff in your family that, you know, he didn't ever do before, but he's doing it now. Right? That's good.
Is here, and he's here, so he's with you completely. And anytime you need him, all you got to say is, hello, God, are you there? And he will be there for you.
Amen. And he is, right? Amen. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. That's great words, son. Yeah. Okay. All right. Jeff. Do not doubt, for you are starting on the right path. Amen. All right. We pray today, we heard today that God wants us to come and see. Open your eyes today, because we're seeing what God's doing. Can you hold that?
Jessica, hold your hand up. What's your full name?
Jessica Georgina Bradley.
You love Jesus with all your heart?
Yes.
Jessica,
Jessica Georgina Brezik. I baptize you in the name of the Father.